Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and every week I'm honored to share the microphone with the most interesting entrepreneurs. These are people who are authors, they're speakers, they're business people, they're solopreneurs, entrepreneurs. They may just be starting out, they may be seasoned, but they have great stories to share, and they are excited to freely share their business wisdom, their tips, and actionable advice with the audience. In short, they are willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. And today I get to welcome back to the program a friend of mine, and she was my coach for a while. She's a great coach, by the way. Digital marketing strategist Susan Barancini-Moe. Now, Susan is also the author of the best-selling book, Business in Blue Jeans, How to Have a Successful Business on Your Own Terms in Your Own Style. It's a great book. I recommend it. As I mentioned, she's an executive coach and a marketing consultant with over a decade and a half of experience working in the trenches of digital marketing. Now, Susan and her businesses have been featured in Red Book Magazine, USA Today, MSN Living, Investors Business Daily, Yahoo Finance, the Indianapolis Star, the Chicago Tribune, and American Express Open Forum. And she's also disappeared. Sorry, Susan. She has also appeared on ABC, and in 2012, she broke the Guinness World Records title for the longest uninterrupted live video webcast. I was there. It was epic. None of us slept very much, but it was a ton of fun. So please do join us in the chat room to ask questions. And when the show has ended, you will be able to listen to the episode on demand in Blog Talk Radio or in iTunes. Just, you know, look for her name. Susan, welcome back.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back. What fun.
It's always fun to talk with you. I always come away with, you know, things that I feel like I should have known, but they somehow escaped me. It's
well,
like, duh.
You know, we all have those things, right? Like, we think, I know that. And I always think that's a hint to myself that I should listen more. Because if I think I know something, even if I reinforce something I already know, that's a good thing. But I'm almost always guaranteed to pick up a new tip or two. So, yeah, always there's always new stuff out there or stuff you've forgotten.
Right.
We have so much going through our heads right now, right?
Exactly. And the trick, honestly, is to go, oh, you know, I kind of sort of knew that. Now act on it. You know, that's
exactly.
I think that's where the disconnect is. Like, oh, cool. And then you get busy and it gets set aside or it gets put on a little sticky note and the sticky note winds up on the floor under the cat. And it's like, just act on it. So before we get rocking and rolling here, tell people a bit about yourself that I may have missed in the intro.
Oh, well, yeah, so I kind of split my business between some executive coaching and digital marketing primarily. We have a whole host of marketing services from we train you to do it to we'll tell you what to do to we'll do it for you. And I'm not sure what the continuum is there, which one is on the one side and which one's on the left or on the other. But we have a lot of different options. And so I came to that place by learning web development back when the web was new, and I'm old apparently.
Well, you and me both. Remember, we talked about this. We did it before there was GUI, graphical
right?
user interface. I look back on my original website, and I was so proud of it. It was blue background and white text, and I was so proud of it.
Oh,
now
yeah.
I look at it and just go, blah.
Don't you love
it
those
was
playback.
What it was.
I love those archives. You can always go back and see your old work. It's hilarious.
In the Wayback Machine, that's right.
Yeah. But, yeah, so I worked for magazine publishers and helped them take their content that they'd printed in the magazines and put it online for digital consumption, which was a pretty fancy and innovative thing back in the day. And just kind of, you know, grew and evolved, and I've ended up where I am. So And now I focus mostly on digital marketing, but because I love coaching and I'm well trained in it, I reserve a part of my schedule for coaching very special people like yourself. So I kind of keep that as a just for me part of my business.
Well, you're very good at it. So if anybody is looking for coaching, and you use NLP, don't you?
I do, among many other tools. Yeah, that's one of the things I use. Yeah, and I find it's useful in many cases, but in some cases, it's really just people who want to know how to run their businesses better and want to be more successful. And so that's really the bulk of my clientele is people who just either want to do things better and think I know how, which I do, usually, or it's, owners of bigger companies, very successful companies who recognize that when you're the boss, you often don't have someone you can talk to about boss things. And you want to be able to, the challenge of being an owner of a company, of being an entrepreneur or being a CEO, is that you always have to put on the facade that you've got your act together and you're successful. And so there aren't many people that you can confess to or tell your confessions to and talk to when you feel like a fraud or you feel like you don't know the answers to something or you wish you knew something or you're struggling with something and you need to bounce something off of someone. There are just not a lot of people you can go to with those things. And so I provide kind of that service as a coach to some of my clients as well.
Well, that's really how we operated because, and I've been talking about this a lot lately, and this is one of the reasons I've started my recent mastermind group. When you're at the level, you work at the level that many of us do, you're isolated. And I'm doubly isolated, honestly, because I work from home. I'm an introvert, big time. The last time we spoke, I think I was a half inch from being a hermit. I'm now about a quarter inch from it. I'm a true introvert.
We talked about that.
But, one of the things is that you get so caught up in how you're creating your business and crafting your business and crafting your persona, so to speak, which is really who you are. But you have to be professional and you have to be, you can't be out there in your polka dot bikini going, ooh, look at me, I'm a web developer. You just can't do that, right? So,
right.
And that's,
well,
where you kind of came into play for me because I was feeling very, very isolated, didn't even know it actually. But there are just some people that you can talk to when you reach a certain level.
Well, and the other piece I think is that we as a culture do not celebrate failure very often. And certainly there are attempts. I think it's different in the startup community. On the West Coast, it's a little different than in most communities. I think that we don't celebrate when someone isn't perfect or awesome or super successful. And the thing is, we're all out there and everybody has to say they're successful because if you say, I am a reasonably successful person, no one in their right mind is going to hire you, whatever it is you do, right? They want to know you're top-notch. They want to know you're very good. And if you can't say that and with honesty, then you ultimately, if you want to, become that, we've created a culture in which you have to say that. Even, we saw it, we've seen it for a long time, and it's happened in every industry. And so, I think that's one of the things people like about having someone like me in their corner is knowing that I'm never going to tell people what's really going on behind the scenes. This is not something that applied to you, obviously, but I think, a lot of my clients need that. They need to be able to have one person at least that they can tell those things to and that can help them behind the scenes and say, okay, you're not where you want to be yet. You don't have to tell the world that, but let's get you where you want to be because because that creates enormous internal dissonance and a cognitive dissonance that really creates a lot of problems that show up in your business without you even realizing it. So it's a really big concern for a lot of people and something that I think, it's important to address because there's a lot of fear around that, like what if I'm found out, and that really needs to be addressed for a lot of people.
And you brought up something very important because we all have mind chatter. We all have imposter syndrome. We all, we do a slap-up job of beating up on ourselves entrepreneurs are very good at going, really, Denise? Well, that was stupid. And you know, and I have these conversations with myself all the time, and I have learned not to have those to nip them in the bud. It's like, you know,
right.
You might have fallen on your little tushy there, but get up and keep on moving. You know, grab a shovel, go outside, dig a hole, plant a tree, move a tree, then get back in and start over. And that's what I do. I no longer have these beat up Denise days. And I used to be pretty good at beating myself up. We all are.
Oh, I know.
And it's something that's just, yeah, I know, you know. And it's not a good thing. So, you know, what I took away from our coaching sessions was to quit being so darn hard on myself. Even if nobody knew it but me, when it comes down to the nut cracking, I'm the one that's important. I'm the one that needs to know I'm doing okay.
Yeah. And the other thing is, like, this kind of perfectionism and the imposter thing that we experience so much of really can lead to things like depression, and that can be a really significant problem, as you know, we all know. So, you know, it's important, I think, to nip it in the bud. It's important to know how to address this stuff if that's what you're going through.
And that kind of leads us, believe it or not, in my mind, that leads us into how you promote your business, how you promote your services. If you are going through some of these things, you know, imposter syndrome, which is a big, big problem with entrepreneurs, or you're feeling like you're not doing it as well as the next guy, your peers, how do you get out there and say, okay, I am going to get in front of the media, I'm going to put out press releases, I'm going to toot my own horn, but I'm not feeling so great about myself. So where is that disconnect? How do you get past that?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because when you have that sense, when you feel that imposter thing, and it's not just, it's women, right? Women who are in business, whether you're an entrepreneur or you work for someone, women have this imposter thing, feeling like a fraud, like you're going to get found out. That's a big issue among women. It is also, across the board, a big issue among entrepreneurs, and I don't know precisely why that is, but I think it's the culture we've created, but it is extremely important to get ahead of it and to nip it in the bud, because you really, it's very hard to stand out there unless you're really good at faking it. And even if you are really good at faking it, it's really hard to stand out there in the public and, you know, do interviews and, like, first of all, you have to have a lot of integrity to come away. Like, I could not do this interview if I was not successful, if I didn't know the things I know, if I wasn't good at what I do. I could no more do this interview and walk away feeling good about myself, feeling like, you know, like I used to have this fraud feeling too, like people are going to find out I don't know that much or that I don't have an MBA or whatever. I don't have it so much now, I think in part because it comes with experience. It comes with learning how to be authentic and have integrity and be honest. And it also comes with a certain amount of learning how to address when you have those issues and those concerns. Maybe I think it also comes when you're 40s. I don't know. but it's something that
you grow up? Seriously?
Yeah, right?
Oh, crud.
But the other thing is that...
Don't tell me I had to do that.
Oh, well, not in all of the ways. You can still have fun. But I think that we get into a place where, you know, you learn how to manage those emotions, those fears, those concerns. Whether I had, like, I have clients, but if I didn't have clients, I would still be as good at what I do as I am right now, right? So the definition of success has to change, where you get your internal feeling of, oh, yeah, I am good at what I do, has to change. So, you know, and you have to have a certain amount of honesty about yourself and a certain amount of integrity and authenticity. So what I'm saying is I don't think it's not really great to try to do a ton of publicity for you or for your personal brand, for your business, if you don't believe it and if you can't be honest about it and have, you know,
right.
Integrity
that
about it.
That was my point. Exactly.
Yeah, it's good,
I
to,
mean,
get
you're getting
it, it's good
there,
to get it under control first.
Right. Because if you're getting up there, and, you know, a lot of people, and I can hear our audience raising their eyebrows into their hairlines, but I need PR, I need press releases, and I need to be doing all these things. You do. You absolutely do, but only if you're feeling authentic about what it is that you're doing. Because it will come back and bite you. It will. I mean, it's just karma happens. So if you can't get out there and really speak from your heart, from your experience, and you know you really don't want to help other people, it's not going to work for you. You can get some short-term PR, but I just don't think it's sustainable. That's just my opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's true. I also think that it shines through, right? I think that people can hear it. People can identify it. And even when you don't know you're putting out signals, you are. So, yeah, I mean, I think it is really about honesty and integrity. Now, there are people out there who don't have there are people out there who don't have the same level of commitment to honesty and being real and being who you really are. And I suppose there are people who could go out there and say whatever they want. And we both know people who do. So,
we do.
You know, who are less than, let's say, that are disingenuous about their success track record. And so I would say that in those cases, you know, maybe they're able to do that and look in the mirror and sleep at night and feel good about it. I don't, and I wouldn't. So I think, you know, I think you have to really, you know, spend a little time doing the internal work, working on the brain junk, working on the little voices in your head. And that may mean, you know, that might mean reading chapter one of my book. It might also mean, my publisher will thank
plug.
Me. But
it's a good book,
right,
y'all, seriously.
But it also might mean hiring a coach and just spending, you know, 3 to 6 months working on your brain junk. I'm not saying, you know, you can get it all sorted out in that time, but just pick a chunk of time, say, I'm going to work on this, I'm going to address it. I'm also going to be pursuing PR opportunities for my business, but in doing so, I want to be responsible, I want to have integrity, and I want to sort out all the stuff that's, you know, maybe the same stuff that will keep you from getting solid publicity that is an ongoing thing and from being good in interviews and knowing how to handle the media and the things, maybe the same things that are keeping you from being super successful in your business are the things that you need to work out, right?
Right.
Those are all, you know, in your brain junk. So they're all kind of part of the same thing.
Well, and that's what I mean. You need to set that foundation. I mean, you may be already there. Good. I mean, God bless you. I'm envious, but God bless you. If you're already there, you're good to go. So we're going to talk about the steps that you can take. If you're not there and you're uncomfortable with going, ooh, you know, I have this problem. I can write for my clients. I can tell them what to do. I can say, okay, you know, you need to position yourself here. When it comes to me, I just freeze because I never know what it is that I'm supposed to write down. I mean, I do. I have a problem with it. I have a problem with promoting my own self. I think most of us do.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm working on overcoming that, but it's just something that we all go through. It's not that I don't believe in my message. It's not that I don't believe in the work that I do. It's just somebody says, oh, write a quick bio. Okay. And I just kind of go, oh, crud. And I go, you know, load the dishwasher, and I walk away from it. I know I'm not.
We do that, don't we? We avoid the things that are hard to do.
That's right. That's right. I know I'm not alone in this. So what we're saying to the audience is get your foundation set up. So now let's kind of go into the how-tos, and unless there's something I missed. Do we have anything further to talk about the mind junk and all of that?
We could talk about that for days. You know that.
I know.
I think, you know, I think they get the point, right? Like, I can't
right.
see the chat room, but I'm guessing they get the point that you just, you know, work on your brain junk so it doesn't get in your way. And that's true no matter what we're going to talk about next.
Mm-hmm. It is true. It very much is true. Look, I consider myself successful at what I do. But, you know, with us, with people like us, we always want to do better. We always want to do more. We always want to take that next step. We never rest on our laurels. We never say, oh, good job, Denise. Good job, Susan. Woohoo. Well, we do. But it's very brief, and then we're, okay, now how can I improve on that? That's just the process that we go through.
Yeah, I'm always thinking about what's next. You know, I'm always, and I'm always contemplating while I'm doing one goal, while I'm working toward one goal, I'm ever mindful of the next goal because I'd prefer they dovetail so that I don't finish something and then go, oh, now what? I don't want to waste that time. So I think it's important to kind of always be thinking about what can I do that's next that's going to be better than before. And it's funny, we were talking before the recording started, and I've put myself in a really interesting position that I haven't done this in a very long time. But despite what I just said about how I like to dovetail my goals, I am in a weird place right now as I took on a big project earlier this year, and it was so consuming that when I was done, I realized I had not been contemplating what was next. And so I recently completed that project, and now I'm going, oh, this is the first time in, wow, about 20 years that I have not known what was next. And so I'm in this odd place right now. So I wanted to have integrity and say that.
Right. And because, that's unsettling.
Yeah. Well, I'm finding it a little interesting and exciting. And it's confirming for me that dovetailing works much better for me.
Mm-hmm.
maybe a little unsettling.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, let's go back to the girl thing in the kitchen, but it's kind of like when you do your grocery shopping, you know, I do this because I'm very logical this way, but when I set up my grocery list, I know exactly what ingredients are going to go in the different meals throughout the week. So there's no waste. I'm not buying a lot of junk. It's all dovetailed together. You know, it makes logical sense to me to make sure that I've got enough potatoes for, you know, four meals and that they're going to be used in this way, and corn over here and avocados over there. You know, I know exactly where they're going to go on what day.
Well,
and I find that I operate
my
business the same way. Do what?
Yeah, and otherwise you end up with a weird refrigerator full of food.
Well,
you
wind up with a lot of waste.
Yeah, I know.
And I hate throwing food away. I really do. I hate waste of any kind. So, you know, it's just kind of a weird description, but those of us who do a lot of cooking will get that. So once you have everything in play and you're ready to get out there and you're ready to get your message out and start really letting people know what it is that you bring to the table, how you can help them, because let's face it, it's not about you. It's really about what you can bring, you know, to your audience, to your clients, to your consumers. So what are some of the easiest ways to go about getting publicity?
Well, you know, it's funny, there are easy ways and there are expensive ways and there are easy ways that are less expensive. So the easiest, probably, in many cases, would be you hire a PR firm, right? And they're fairly expensive, right? Like you're not going to probably find a PR firm that you can get for less than, say, $1,500 a month. That would be very, very reasonable.
Right.
But the challenge that PR people have is they have to craft a story around you, and they're going to rely on you in large part to do that, unless you're paying a lot of money. So even if you hire a PR firm, you still have to do a lot of the same work you'd have to do on your own. So, for example, I hired a PR firm for my book, and they were able to secure guest blog posts for me, which is great, except I could have done that myself. They
Right.
did give me a lot of radio interviews. I'm not sure how many books that sold, but the blog posts were okay. My VA can help me do that, and did. So I'm not sure that I think – there's certainly, especially if you're local and you have a local audience, like you're trying to reach local people to help you, like if you have a very, you know, a geographically local business, then I think a local PR firm that has a relationship with the media and knows exactly what shows to get you on and how to get you in the press, that's a great benefit. But a national PR firm may or may not be super helpful, depending on how much your budget is and what you really can do. And the nice thing about a PR firm is that they will have contacts you probably don't have, and they'll think of ways to position you that they can talk to you about that you may not have thought of. But I think the other thing is you can do press releases, which, you know, you can write. They're free, you know. There are a number of free tools online that you can use to
Right.
submit press releases to. Some of those are worth nothing. Others are great, and you'll see if you have a Google Alert set up. I recommend everyone set up Google Alerts for your business name and your name, your personal name, But if you submit press releases through these tools, you'll get a little SEO bounce. I don't think you'll get super, you know, press from it.
No, but they stay out there forever, and people stumble. I've stumbled across press releases that were 7 or 8 years old. I'm like, ooh. And they were interesting enough for me to go follow to see if that person or that company is still in business. Like, oh, my goodness. You know, just some they're out there. So make sure that they're pertinent.
There's not no benefit. I just I think they're of, let's say, they're of slightly less benefit than the very expensive services that reach out and try to pitch you on buying their PR news release distribution service.
What I'm saying is
don't spend a lot of money on those things. So those are, you know, those are kind of the regular known avenues. Now, there are a number of tools available to help you pitch yourself for stories. You know, we've all, you know, it used to be the Reporter Connection was the big one, but they stopped. So now the big one is Harrow, and it's free, and that's a great tool. And there's a long list of others, very long list of others, that you can put yourself in as an expert. There are directories you can put yourself in, and that's a Google search away. But I would say that you're, you know, of course, among stiff competition. So you want to really know how to go through. Like a tool like Harrow, you can set up an expert profile now, but the better avenue is through looking at their emails that they send out 3 times a day. And you want to look through those emails they send out. Like journalists will put queries into the tool, and then they send those queries out. And you want to pick your stories really, really carefully. So you don't want to force it. For any situation where you're pitching yourself for a story, if you are forcing it, if you're trying to force yourself like as a square peg into a round hole, you probably will not get the opportunity. So they'll ignore your pitch. You want to write it very thoughtfully and explain why you're the best person to be interviewed, but don't overwrite it. So if your pitch is too long, they're not going to be interested. You're not writing the article for them. You're not telling the story for them. You're just giving them bullet points and sound bites, and you want to make it clear in your pitch that you're able to speak in bullet points and sound bites because that's what they're looking for. They're not looking for you to write the story. They're looking for you to be offering quotes and backing up what they say as an expert source. And then the other thing you want to include in every pitch is an offer to promote the article and through your social media channels and to your list, because you're basically saying, I know you're helping me out here, so here's what I'm going to offer to you as a little bonus. And that's a nice thing to do anyway. So the most important piece there is pick the stories carefully. Don't apply for things that don't apply to you. But always apply for something if it could apply to you.
Now, for our audience, when we're talking about Harrow, it's helpareporterout.com, Harrow, helpareporterout.com.
Mm-hmm. And it's a very good tool. Now, once you submit your pitches, and I would say I have about, I want to say like a 75 to 80% acceptance rate, like that when I pitch stories. So if I pitch a story for myself or for a client, I usually get it. And the reason is that you're pitching thoughtfully, you're trying to think like the reporter and or the journalist or whoever it is, and you're really trying to give them what they need without giving them everything they need. Because what usually happens, unless they specify in the query, what usually happens is that they'll tell you we're looking for, you know, to interview experts. So right in that kind of situation, you're just trying to secure the interview. If they say, you know, send us your best tips, then send them a one-line tip and flesh it out a little bit. You can, you know, offer to write more as needed, but you don't want to overwrite it. Again, you're not writing the article for them. And when you do get the interview, when they email you and say, you know, I liked what you wrote and I'd like to interview you, you want to be as flexible as possible when you're scheduling. So this is not the time to act like a big shot. Like, you don't want to act like some people out there, some coaches, like if you try to schedule an appointment with them for an initial consultation, they'll make it really hard, you know, like, or whoever it is, as marketing consultants, whatever, all these people out there who are quote-unquote gurus, they'll make it really hard. Like, oh, I'm booking 3 or 4 weeks out. No, you're not. You have some time. So don't be that guy, because with reporters, they're doing you a favor. And that's the bottom line. They can choose from a million different experts, a million different people just like you, and they're doing you a favor. And that's how you always have to perceive the relationship, that they are doing you the favor. So be as flexible as you can and respond to emails right away. If you are doing an interview, as you begin, ask them if there's anything they're looking for specifically. So when I start an interview, before I, you know, they say, you know, let's get started, I'll say, okay, before we start, is there anything you're looking for in particular that you want to make sure that we cover or that you want to make sure that you hear? Because sometimes they're looking for you to make a specific kind of statement or take a specific kind of stance. You want to be as accommodating as you can without sacrificing your integrity. But try to convey what they're asking you to convey, as long as it doesn't, you know, get in the way of something you actually really believe in. So if they say, you know, I want you to say, let's say, like, gun control is a really hot topic right now. Let's say that, you know, you get chosen for an interview to talk about gun control. Don't say, I believe in gun control, if you don't. But at the same time, if they say, well, we're really looking for people to speak about, you know, the relationship between states' rights and handguns or, you know, assault rifles, then, you know that that's the kind of quote, you know, include those topics in your sound bites. And sound bites are, in case you don't know, they're just brief statements that they can use in a very brief, snappy points that you can make. And you do want to get used to speaking in sound bites and statements that can be used as quotes. And if you read the news, read articles, you know, and you see quotes from sources, you'll notice that they're fairly brief. And so you want to be as punchy as you can be. You want to be confident. You want to be polite. When you do an interview with a journalist, I always think it's when you know it's coming, if you have time, I think it's good to have a plan to spend a little bit of time researching the topic, making sure that you've boned up on the knowledge and made sure that you've, you know, kind of, like I did an interview, someone called me the other day and said, could we schedule an interview to talk to you about performance reviews because we saw this article you wrote. Well, I don't do performance review conversations that frequently. It happened to be a blog post I wrote for a client. So I spent, you know, 15, 20 minutes before the interview rereading the article I'd written so I could remember what I'd said, so I could remember what stances I've already taken. So you want to kind of just take a little time to review your statements beforehand. And when you're done, thank the journalist, reiterate your offer to help promote, something like, you know, hey, when the article gets posted, just let me know, because now everything's both print and web. So when the article is posted, let me know, and we'll be happy to promote it out to our social media channels as well. And they like that. They think that's great because it helps them. If they have more readers in their articles, it looks good for them. And never pester them afterward. Don't ask them if they're going to link to your website. Don't ask them if they're going to when it's going to go live. Just leave it alone. If they let you know, great. If they don't, and sometimes they won't, your Google alert should pick it up, and you can still promote it. And you do always want to still promote it, even if they don't let you know, because it makes you look good. And that's really the bottom line. I mean, it's pretty simple stuff. It's really about remembering what the relationship is, remembering that, you know, you are the lucky one that got chosen, and they are doing you a favor. You want to be polite and friendly and very helpful, and don't be overly solicitous and desperate sounding, but at the same time, be very appreciative that they have chosen you and speak in soundbite. So those are kind of the main points, I think.
And, of course, there's the back, you know, the back end kind of part of this, which a lot of people don't think of. It always surprises me, but, you know, once you've agreed to speak with a publication or reporter, do your due diligence. You know, get on LinkedIn and Twitter and follow that person, connect with that person. So when you do get out and promote the article, you can tag them in it. I don't know why
Definitely.
That's overlooked. It's constantly overlooked.
It's a very good idea. That said, do not spam reporters.
Right.
Not on LinkedIn, not anywhere. You don't.
Right. You just tag them and let them be.
Yeah, once the article is done, once it's out, once you've promoted it, leave them alone. Now, I will say there are a couple of producers from, you know, things that I've done on TV, I stay in touch with them. Producers are young usually, like, you know, for, you know, when I was on Millionaire, the producers were young, and a couple of them were like, let's stay in touch afterward. That's unusual because a lot of times, you know, they'll say that, but they don't really, like, then they're hard to find. But ABC, CBS, the big networks hire very young people to be producers, and they're very active on social media, but they're also used to guests being a little bit stalkery, because one of the things that happens when you're a reporter is people start
stalkery?
To stalk you. And, well, yeah, stalkery, you know, like...
it's a new word. Like it.
Yeah. I mean, they want to be best friends with everyone that they've been on the show, because they're young, they're friendly, and, you know, part of their job when you're on a show is to make you feel like you're the most important person in the room, and they want you to be confident, so they build you up, and they're very complimentary. And the thing is, that's their job. They're doing their job. And so, you know, there's a difference between a journalist and a producer, right? But I think, you know, when you're dealing with the media, you'll deal with both journalists, reporters, you know, personalities, you'll deal with producers. And you want to be really careful how you handle those things. So you never want to pester a journalist. You don't want to send them press releases. Leave them alone. They are not the ones deciding most often what the stories will be. So you want to just be a good source and thank them after the interview and just leave it at that. Don't try to build a relationship with it. Just, you know, you can stay present on social media with them, but they're not out to build a relationship with you, and I don't advise that.
See, that makes perfect sense to me. They're very busy people. I mean, they're probably approached, I don't know how many times a day. I can only imagine. And I would think that, you know, if you really made an impression with them, they're like us. They have their little Rolodexes, whatever it is, whether it's on their phone or mentally, whatever it is. They know who they want to get back in touch with, I would think.
I think so. I've had opportunities where I've been interviewed by a reporter or a journalist who I later found out had another, journalists have lots of jobs. And so one of the journalists that interviewed me for a publication, a very well-known publication, contacted me a few months after that interview to say, I'm working on a new project with this person. We'd like to use the RSS feed for your blog and syndicate your blog. Would that be okay with you? Here's how many people will see it. You know, here's the companies that we're working with. Would that be okay with you? And that turned out to be a wonderful opportunity for me. So if you do a good job as an interviewee and you, you know, kind of build a relationship through respecting that they don't want to be your friend, then it can lead to other opportunities down the road. But you have to just, it's a very delicate balance. You want to just leave them alone.
And I know that sounds counterintuitive, but it does make absolute sense. I mean, they're busy people. They're being approached all the time. They probably are in a constant sense of overwhelm, and they probably deeply appreciate when you're professional and you let them do their job.
Right. And I think that this know, like, and trust thing, it goes only so far. Journalism is a different thing. Unless, you know, you have some, like, you create some weird bond while you're doing the interview, it is just very unusual that you will, you know, now have a relationship with that person. And I just think we have to be very careful when it comes to journalism, because you don't want, you know, and there may be others out there who will say I'm completely wrong, but I just don't think it's a good idea to ever come across as pestering or spamming or bothering a journalist who may never write another story on your topic again.
That makes sense. I hadn't even thought of it like that. So we've been talking about how to handle the media when you do get a story, the do's and don'ts. Are there any other do's and don'ts that we need to talk about?
Probably not. I would say this. My local newspaper is a little different. My local newspaper, you do build a relationship with a reporter. So you do have to know the publication. National publications, leave them alone. But in your local town, get to know what the protocol is. I didn't know that was a protocol. I thought editors were the guys you needed to know. But our newspaper is owned by a national brand, and our newspaper is hyper-local, though. So you want to kind of get to know the publication and how it all works. Best way to do that is to get a sense of who responds. If you send, like we send a press release, the way I found this out about the local papers, we sent a press release out to the editor of the business section when we did the Guinness event, and the reporter contacted me personally. And then after the event, he contacted me and said, we'd like to do a follow-up piece. And I've spoken with him a couple of times since, and when he, you know, wants to do another piece. And I've also had reporters who reached out to me as a result of that that article, that he's passed my information along to other reporters. I think you just have to get to know really how it works locally and get a feel for what the deal is. I would not just email him for fun. I wouldn't go, hey, do you want to grab a beer? But I think just maintaining that relationship is just, and the balance of it and being very careful of it is really, really important to not painting yourself as a source that they would not want to interview again.
Right, a PIA, in other words. Okay, mm-hmm. So this just popped up in email, not the chat room, oddly enough. Somebody's listening and they know my email address, so which is unusual. Reputation management. What is the difference between, let's say, social media and reputation management? Oh, PR, I'm sorry. What is the difference between, you know, maybe hiring a PR firm for, you know, just kind of getting the word out there, or managing reputation? Is there a big difference there? I don't know the answer.
Well, there are so many different ways to interpret reputation management, right? Like, you know, reputation management isn't just one thing. So there's online reputation management, which I'm sure you know is how people are talking about you in social media. It's also how consistent your NAP data is. If you search online reputation management, you're going to find that there are people who claim, you know, say they're online reputation managers, but really all they do is make sure that your name, address, and phone number listings are the same across all different directories and citation sites, which is a whole other conversation we could have. I mean, that's a valuable service that, you know, it's an issue today. But I think, managing your reputation is a valuable and important thing. And I think PR is about putting out good press about you and about your business so that people will talk about you and say good things. Online reputation is ultimately the result of how you show up, how you are in the world. So if you are going to, you know, your online reputation can be impacted by a variety of things. It can be impacted by the quality of your product or service. It can be, you know, affected by your demeanor and the way that you treat your clients and customers. It can be affected by your marketing, anything. And so really they're kind of different things. I think online reputation is something that is an after the fact thing, and PR is something that you plan out and try to kind of create in advance, if that makes sense.
It does make sense, and I think, my brain is squirreling around while you're talking, and I think part of it, this is just my observation, I think part of online reputation management is making sure that you, like you said, how you show up, you consistently put out good content, your own, or you're curating, but you're very consistent with giving that content out there, and drive yourself up in the search engines organically, so anything negative, if it does show up, is going to be kind of buried.
Well, and you can use PR as sort of a crisis management tool,
mm-hmm.
as a strategy for if stuff does start to come up that's bad, you know,
address it. Don't hide your head in the sand.
Yeah, I mean, and sort of the flip side of the kind of PR we've been talking about is you can be a quote-unquote reporter as well. So, for example, these same tools that you would, you know, like a tool like Harrow, and again, there are others, but there are a lot of sources that you can use to get, or tools you can use to get sources for your own blog posts. So if one way to get some little boost in your traffic is to do an article about, you know, expert opinions about something. So, for example, you know, 15 marketing experts talk about, you know, whatever, and you write an article about that, and you use, basically it is a little bit of a cheater's blog posting, because it means you don't really have to write the article. Because you could just
I see it all the time. I see it in entrepreneur. it's not uncommon, y'all. I'm telling you.
No, and they're actually really interesting articles, and they get a lot of different and interesting perspectives on a subject. And what's nice about those is that the experts that you include will promote your article because you mentioned them. And if you're smart, you'll also link out to their websites as well, providing them an SEO boost. So what's cool about that is that now, instead of you being the one to promote your blog post, now you have you plus 15 other people who are going to promote your blog post, which is great, right? You get a little boost in traffic. They're going to be driving it to you. The other thing is participate in those kinds of articles, even if it's your own article, because you never know what kind of opportunities can come from that. So I've been invited to do several different reality show opportunities. None of them has really been quite what I'm looking for. But we're talking about doing a show now with a production company. We've been talking about it for like a year. But the first one that I ever, and I had never really thought about doing one until I got this email from a guy who reached out because he saw me in a multi-expert post where I just sent in a tip to a Harrow thing and said, it was a Harrow query on how to work with your spouse. And so I had sent in a tip on that because
I can tell you how to do that. You don't do it, but that's just
no,
me.
You cannot. It can
well,
be done.
Married,
I've done it. I've done it. Leo and I have worked together many times, and it's wonderful. He's a delight.
Oh, God. But I would be in jail, seriously.
But I think that you never know what kind of opportunities will come from the PR that you put out there. And so multi-author blog posts are, I think, a great tip.
Okay, so what you know, once you decide to write one of those things, where do you go with it? Because I know where I would go with it. But what do you put it on your blog? Do you put it in LinkedIn as a Pulse article? How do you now disseminate that information? Do you go to Huffington Post and say, is this something you'd be interested in? I mean, do you pitch to Huffington and Inc. and Entrepreneur and Mindbody Green? I mean, you know, what do you do?
Unless you're going to take the time to actually write an article and quote sources versus listing paragraphs with you, there's a difference, right? So there's the article where you don't have to write it. So if you're actually going to write an article and use a bunch of different sources as within the context of a written article, then you can post that. You can pitch it to Huffington. You can pitch it anywhere you want. If you're just going to do a paragraph, like for each expert in their own words, so you're really not writing the article, you're just posting it. And I've done those. I've done it both ways. I think that people tend to like to see their own words. Like if we're talking about having experts promote, you know, the people that you're quoting in the article are promoting the article as well, then I would just leave it on your blog, leave it on your website. And let people drive traffic to you, and it's going to be very effective in terms of getting traffic. Now, there are really, how to write an article is a totally different conversation. So much we can talk about with that. But I would say unless you really should make sure if you're going to pitch to a site like Huffington or Inc., you want to make sure you're actually writing a valuable article.
You know, I keep thinking I'm going to do it. And then I don't.
No, why not? Seriously. Why don't you do it?
Well, I'm going to tell you why. And this is, you know, this goes back to what we were talking about at the top of the hour. We get so busy. We're taking care of our clients and our customers, our consumers, and we kind of forget about ourselves a bit. Mm. And I am in a position right now, you're talking about, you know, you're in a kind of an odd zone right now. I am as well. I got so incredibly busy this past year. Look, I'm a web developer. My website, DeniseGriffiths.com, is hidden behind a plugin. I don't even want anybody to see it. It got hacked. It's a mess. I haven't been writing. I haven't been posting. My primary website, YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com, was rebuilt halfway. I'm still working on that. And it's really embarrassing. So I honestly, this is sad. I almost don't want people to go to my websites right now until I can get them at least cleaned up, wiped down, and put back up, you know? So that's really what's holding me back. I've got all these great articles that I've written. I can't even post them on my website because it's hidden behind a WordPress maintenance plugin. You talk about beat yourself up. I mean, I am whooping the snot out of myself right now.
Well, and you know what I have to say about that.
I
don't be hard on yourself. But I do think, I mean, it's important to dive in. No matter what business you're in, you have to be your own best client, and that's everybody knows. That's critically important.
One of the articles that I'm writing right now for LinkedIn Pulse is exactly that. That I lost sight of because for the longest kind of time, I was my best client, and this past year, not so much.
Yeah, you've got to get back to that because I want to say this and yet also I don't. But the person, the web developer who has a bad website is less likely to be hired. Of course, you know. I mean, that's common sense. If I am a writer who doesn't write, I don't have the street cred, right? If I don't have a place where I can send, and I do have a place where I can send everybody to go and look at all my writing and look at all the places I've written, and you know, here's the page on my website where all of my interviews and all of my articles that I've written for other people and all of, you know, everything, it's here. Because I want to have a place where everybody can see the quality of my work. And my body of work, and that's really important. And the other thing, going back to PR for a second, you want to make sure it's easy for reporters to contact you. It's funny, I have a friend who is a journalist, and she told me on Facebook the other day, she said, you know, I am sick to death of business owners who don't have contact information and don't have basic press information on their websites because I'm wanting to give you press. I want to give you publicity. You're making it so hard that I'm going to go to the other guy. And I
now,
said, yeah.
What do you mean by press information?
It's really important to make it easy to contact you. So your website should have, if not a phone number, and I do advise having a phone number, but if it's not a phone number, an email address, not a contact form, an email address. Yes, you will get spam. But if you do not have a web address or an email address on your website, then a lot of reporters will just say, forget it. I don't know where that form goes. I have no idea if they're going to contact me back, so I'm not going to bother. So you want to have an email address and, if you can, manage it, a phone number, connect to all your social media. And on a press page, it's good to have, like on mine, I have a headshot for web and for print, a basic bio, you know, just quick facts about you or about your business or your product. Any press releases that you've issued recently, you want to make it easy for them to give you publicity because they're trying. And, you know, a lot of reporters don't even have to contact you if they're going to write something about you because you've already put it on the website. So just make it easy.
And now you have two websites. Which one where can people find that particular page, your media page?
SusanBaranchinimo.com.
Okay. You're looking, aren't you?
I think there's some information on Business in Blue Jeans, but both sites have the same page of resources that show all of my body of work. And if Business in Blue Jeans doesn't have a media page, I'd be surprised, but we've done a lot of moving around of things lately, so I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. But I think that we do have a phone number and an email address. It's easy for us people to contact me. So
right, and both of those addresses are in the show notes. If anybody's looking for her websites, they're both there. Okay, and I made a mistake earlier. Go figure. It's not helpareporterout.com for Harrow. It is
helpareporterout.com. Not go there.
No, just Help a Reporter. It may well, but it's been probably shortened to Help a Reporter. So either way, you'll probably get there. Okay, so
we talked
about blog posts that include sources. What else can people do? You know, once they're ready to really get going, I think the big question for me and for other people listening is, when do you know you're ready? I mean, when do you get over your imposter syndrome or your broken website, which I am working on, I promise.
Well,
I'm stating on the radio, I'm working on it, I promise. But, you know, when you're ready to get going, what are some of the very first steps that you should take to just kind of get it straight in your mind?
Well, I think the first thing you want to do is make sure you are ready, right? It's not just about brain chunk. A very successful venture capitalist told me the other day, there's no better way to kill a product, a bad product, than with good marketing. So if your product, there's no better way to kill a bad product than with good marketing.
Oh, because it sheds the spotlight on just how crummy the product is.
Yeah, I mean, you could market a product that, you know, you just haven't gotten all the bugs worked out, or it doesn't work perfectly, or a service that, you know, maybe you're not quite ready to deliver. And if it's not great and you get tons of publicity, you're going to bomb. Now you're going to have to rebrand completely. So, because
now
you're...
And I've seen that happen.
Yeah.
We've both seen that happen. We've talked about it.
So I think the first thing is to make sure you really are ready. And that comes through, you know, testing and making sure that, you know, you've really gotten a lot of, feedback on what you're doing. But once you are ready, then you want to make sure your website looks great and you make sure that you've got the press page and the contact information. Just start looking for queries on articles. Look for, you know, a variety of different tools that will help you with that. Don't be afraid to get your name out there by posting queries of your own for your own content. And then the other piece is try to write press releases about timely subjects, things that are in the news. Position yourself as someone who can talk about a topic that's hot right now in your industry or in the news. And just submit press releases at least once a week, if not more, to kind of get the word out. And start looking for the right people in the right places to share press releases with. Just submitting a press release through a service does not necessarily get you the press's attention. However, if you get to know a publication very, very well, and you send a very tailored press release to that publication that is specifically written for that audience, it'll make sense and they'll be more interested. And knowing if you can submit a pitch for an article that you would write yourself is also a really good idea. So, you know, Huffington Post has, you know, you can pitch Huffington, you can pitch Inc., you can pitch Entrepreneur, and you can pitch industry articles as well. So learning how to do that and pitch articles and stories that position you as an expert or position your product or service is a really good idea.
Excellent. Do you have a particular PR tool that you like, or, you know, I know there's a lot of free ones out there. Are there any that are better than others? I know there are a few, but they're just a total waste of time.
Yeah, there are lots that are a total waste of time. But the interesting thing, if you follow my blog, both Business in Blue Jeans and the Susan Barantini Mo. .com, we'll be doing a series of articles on this topic. But the other thing is that there are some changes to tools that have made them different. So, for example, Harrow is a free service that anybody used to be able to post a query to. But Harrow,
they've gone to paid now. Yeah.
No,
I mean, they have different levels. You know, there's zero and then there's $19. There's different levels.
Oh, I didn't know you could pay for Harrow now. But what I did notice is that unless you have a certain Alexa ranking, you can't post a query.
Oh, okay.
So there are
very
few places that bloggers can post queries to find experts for their articles. In fact, that's part of why we're doing this survey that I was telling you about, because we're trying to gather intelligence and figure out what's needed.
Well, and that makes perfect sense. I can't wait to see how, you know, what you come up with when that's done. You know, we have 60 seconds. This is the fastest hour, I'm telling you. Was there anything else that you needed to kind of get in there before we lose our recording?
Well, take the survey at bit.ly/survey102015. It's just survey 102015. And tell us how you're using publicity tools so that we can get that data and figure out what's needed in the marketplace.
Do me a favor and email that link to me. I'll put it in the show notes and I'll put it out to my social media as well.
You bet. Okay. This has been fun.
I know. It's always fun talking with you, and we never have enough time, but where can people find you on the web? Now, remember to our audience, the links are in the show notes, but tell people where they can find you if they're just listening and not actually looking at the show notes.
Businessinbluejeans.com and SusanBarancini-Mo.com.
Fantastic. I always love having you on the show. Thank you so much for being with me here today. It's always great. You always give so much information, and I always have those aha moments, you know, the little Edison light bulb that goes off over my head. There's a picture for you. It's like, woohoo, there she is. And I know
the
audience.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, any time. And I know the audience has enjoyed it as much as I did because you gave us a lot of information. So anyway, the show will be available for download in about an hour, and you can also find us on iTunes. Just type in our names, Denise Griffiths and Susan Barancini-Mo, and I will see you next week. Susan, thank you.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on your Partner in Success Radio.